You can take your Bibles tonight. You can go to Mark chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 23. Tonight, I wanted to share on words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. It's really just a teaching on kind of believing, but I looked up some books online about affirmation. I found some cool titles. Success Affirmations, : 52 Weeks for Living a Passionate and Purposeful Life. Sounds pretty good. The next one is Daily Meditations for Women Who Love Too Much. Yeah. It's a book about affirmations. Coffee self-talk, : 5 minutes a day to start living your magical life. Yeah. And the next one is You Be You, : affirmations for teens. You Be You. Those are just some of thousands of books on Amazon.com written about affirmations. Right? And affirmations are words that we speak to ourselves to ultimately do one thing: change our thinking so that we change our life. And that's the whole point of these books, right? They're all in the self-help section. These all have thousands of reviews on Amazon, so at least thousands of people have read them with the goal of changing their life, right? And if we look at Mark chapter 11, verse 23, it says, "For verily I say unto you," this is Jesus Christ speaking, "that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." Right? And it says that he shall not doubt where? In his heart. That's right. Right? Believing is how we receive things from God. Right? That's a principle of God's word. That if God says something to you, or if it's written in his word, which is also his word, and you believe it, and it would come to pass, right? If it's available in that situation. So believing is involved in receiving, right? Receiving things from God. And where does believing take place? It takes place in your mind and heart, right? You don't doubt in your heart, but believe. Romans 10:9 says, "Thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine," where? Heart. Right. So that's where it takes place, right? It takes place in your heart, which is the innermost part of your mind. So your brain's involved. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Right. Now God has to tell you it's available for you to believe for. When Jesus Christ was talking about that mountain, he wasn't just saying you can throw mountains wherever you want to go. He was saying if God shows you it's available and you believe it, it will come to pass, right? So you can believe the promises that are in God's word. You can believe revelation that God has given you. But you can't believe for a cement truck to show up outside of your house filled with gold, right? That's a very specific request, and it's not in God's word. Unless he told you somehow that that was available, okay? Right? So it's not just anything you want, but believing God's word is the key to receiving the promises. So Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your" what?
Mind.
Right? Where does believing take place? In your brain, right? In your heart. So when you renew your mind to God's word, then it only makes sense that you will do what it says. Transformed. You'll be transformed. Right? It is life-changing to change your thinking. Right? it works according to God's word as much even better than it works in these self-help books, right? Transforming your life is something that's done in your brain by the renewing of your mind, by putting on God's word, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, right? It works because you're changing your thinking, which means you're changing your believing, and thus what you receive into manifestation in your life, okay? So how can we change our thinking and therefore our believing? Go to chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Now again, if we want stuff from God, it's got to be available. But people can also change their thinking in really bad ways as well. They can change their thinking to be very fearful, and they can change their thinking to be very, like, anxious and worried all the time. And that will manifest itself in our lives as well, because it's available to be scared. It's available, you know, to be anxious. There's a God of this world that would rather you be that way. But when we believe God's word, we get positive results. In Romans 10:13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not what? Believe." You can't call on something you don't believe. "And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not what? Heard." So how can you believe something unless you've heard about it? "And how shall they hear without a what? Preacher." Okay, well, there you go. Verse 17, "So then faith or believing come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Right? So we can't believe something unless we've been taught it, told it, heard it. Right? And you can't get that unless you've been, you know, unless there's someone to do that teaching, speaking, right? So what we hear and what we listen to, right, that's what we give our attention to is what shapes our thinking and therefore shapes our believing, right? So words are powerful, right? The things that we listen to and pay attention to and give heed to are powerful. And God's words are the most powerful. They're the most powerful. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. You can listen to someone tell you you're crummy all the time, and that has an effect. That can be powerful. There's a reason propaganda is a thing, right? It's words that are being told over and over and over again until people believe them to be true, even if they're not. Right? Words have an effect. They're powerful. But God's words are the most powerful. Isaiah 55, verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts," right? So God's thoughts, his ways, his words, they're bigger than our own. They're bigger than our own. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven or from the skies and returns not thither," which means it doesn't bounce back up, right? When the rain comes down and hits the ground, it doesn't just go boom and then fly back up into the clouds, right? It lands on the ground and it waters the ground. "So as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven or from the skies and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud," right? So when that water waters the earth, all the plants grow, right? All the things bud and produce fruit, "that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater," right? And that's kind of cool. So the rain comes down and there's seed for the sower, the person who's going to do more planting, and there's bread for the eater, the person who's going to consume the fruit thereof. "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth." It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And that's God's word. He's saying, you know, when my word goes out of my mouth, it's gonna accomplish what I want it to. It will prosper the thing that I sent it to, right? When God created the heavens and the earth, he did it with what? Words. He spoke it into being, right? He's exalted his word above his name, right? It's going to accomplish what he put it forth to do, right? Now, the cool thing is he also gave us his word, right? In the form of the Bible and in the form of Revelation, right? So he gives us his word and we can hold it forth, right? In verse 12, it says, "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace," right? In the context here is that these are God's ways. These are his thoughts. This is his word. And so if we have that, and that's what we're putting on, that are higher than his ways, that are higher than his thoughts, "you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Right? What a fantastic picture that God paints of the blessed believer, right? The prosperity that they'll manifest as they put that stuff on, right? The hills will sing for you, the trees will clap their hands, right? It just looks so amazing and so wonderful. And that's the picture that God paints for us. Go to Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Right? So God's words are powerful. Which means that if that's what we're concentrating on, if that's what we're putting on in our brain, if those are the affirmations we speak to ourselves, there's power in that. And there's greater power than that than daily meditations for women who love too much, right? Or 5 minutes a day to start my magical life. Luke 6:45. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is what? Good. It's going to manifest itself that way. Right? If your thoughts and the things that you're speaking to yourself are good, that's what's in your heart, then you're going to bring forth things that are good. "And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil." Right? So things that are contrary to God's word, things that are no good, like if that's the stuff that's in our heart and that's the stuff we tell ourselves, then that's what we're going to manifest. That's what we're going to bring forth. "For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks," right? So if you say you can do something, if you say you can do something, or if you say you can't do something, you're going to be right, right? If you say you can do something, then you're going to be motivated to do it. You're going to believe that you can accomplish it. And if you say, "I can't do that," well, you're probably not going to do it, right? Because that's what you're speaking forth. That's what you believe in your heart, right? So you're going to be right either way. God made a big promise to Abraham in Genesis 15. Go to Genesis 15, verse 3. All right, so we always have a decision to make when we hear something. We can believe it, we can put it on, and we can confess it. We can use it as words of affirmation. But it's a matter of, are they good things or are they bad things? Are they profitable things or are they not? Genesis 15, verse 3 says, "And Abram," that was his name before God changed it, "Abram said, 'Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, towards the sky, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. Let me know if you can number those stars you see. And he said, God said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now he could have said, Well, that's not possible. There's billions of stars up there. But he chose to believe God's word. And Abram was his name. His name meant High Father. That's what Abram means in Hebrew, High Father. And his wife's name, if you recall, was Sarai, S-A-R-A-I, which means princely. Well, in Genesis 17, verse 1, so a lot of time passes. God made this promise to Abram, many, many years before this moment. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, so now he's 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And the Hebrew of Abraham means father of a multitude. So he was a high father, and he was a high father till he was 99 years old, and he still didn't have any kids. And God comes to him and says, Your name's going to be Abraham, father of many nations, father of a multitude. Right? So he changes his name. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Right? And so that's what he tells him. Verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. So her name is changed from princely to mother of princes. Mother of princes. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. So God does a very cool thing here. He had promised them many years ago that they were going to have kids, and told them to look at the sky, and that's how many kids, that's all your descendants are going to be, like the number of stars in heaven. And then when they got to be 99 years old, when Abraham was 99 years old, he changes his name. And your name is something that you hear all the time. All of the time. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
You hear those names all the time. Every day you hear your name. Right? And God changed their name. That every time someone used their name, they would be telling them, Father of a multitude. Mother of princes. Right? That was something they would then be hearing all of the time. Right? Because God knew it would help them in their believing, that it would help them to hear that stuff over and over and over again, right? Just like those words of affirmation, right? It helped them to believe that God was doing and faithful to what he had promised, right? And we can apply this concept in our own lives by making God's words our affirmations, right? Go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I mean, what must have that done for for Abraham and for Sarah to hear that their names used in such a way that they meant to be a father of multitude, to be a mother of princes. It must have really helped their hearts. Joshua 1, chapter 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The other way around. Joshua 1, 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of what? Thy mouth. Right? Another translation is, shall always be on your lips. Shall always be on your lips. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Right? So he wanted the word to be on his lips all the time, to be what he spoke to himself, to be what he said. Right? So that word was always there in his brain and always coming out of his mouth. So that's what he would hear. For then thou shalt make thy way what? Prosperous. And thou shalt have what? Great success. Right? Good success. You'll be prosperous. You'll have good success. Right? By keeping that word coming out of your mouth. Why? Because of what we heard earlier. What you hear is what you put into your brain. What you put into your brain is what you believe. What you believe according to God's word comes to pass. Right? And so making this something that is always coming out of your mouth or you're always putting into your brain is going to get results. Right? Throughout Psalms, it talks about how David meditated on God's word day and night. Right? It was something he was always feeding himself. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Right? So the concept of these goofy self-help books is true when it comes to God's word. Right? There are things we can repeat to ourselves. There are things that we can say to ourselves that will change our thinking and therefore change our life. And why not make them God's word? Right? Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Right? Referring to God's word. Think on those things. Right? That's what God wants us to do. Right? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Right? That's something that we can say to ourselves. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. There's a reason why memorizing God's word is a help. Right? Because it helps to keep it in our brains. It's something we can repeat to ourselves. Romans 8:37 says that we're more than conquerors, right? We're super conquerors. We can say those things to ourselves. I'm more than a conqueror in this situation, right? 2 Corinthians 9:8 says that we have sufficiency in all things, that God is our sufficiency in all things. 3 John verse 2 says God wishes above all things that we may prosper in what? Amen. Be in health, right? That's a promise in God's word, that we can be prosperous, that we can be healthy. Proverbs 3:24 says that when we lie down, our sleep will be what? Please. Sweet. Right. So, it covers so much in God's word. Things that might come up in our own lives. Maybe we are having trouble sleeping, or our kids are. There's a promise in God's word that we can repeat to ourselves and claim it until we believe it, and just keep saying it until we believe it. Right? We can hear in Proverbs, right? Be anxious for nothing, right? We don't have to be anxious. It says in God's word that he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and what? Sound mind, right? So we don't have to be afraid. And we don't have to be all scatterbrained, right? That we have a spirit full of power and of love. We can be loving, right? These are all promises in God's word. And it works all of the time for every situation. There are a lot of things that God tells us is available in very specific situations, right? There are things that we pray for sometimes that don't make any sense at all, because it's not a promise in God's word. I can pray for a parking spot, okay, but there's no promise in here that I'm going to get a parking spot. God can still bless me, right? But that's not a promise. And I shouldn't get beat myself up when I get there and there's no spot and I have to go around the corner, okay? But there are things that are always available, right? That we are always have no fear in our lives, that we can be healthy and prosperous, that we can have a sweet sleep. Like, these are things that we can say to ourselves and remind ourselves until we believe it, right? And it's way better than you be you, or, you know, success affirmations, right? It's God's word, which is bigger and more powerful than all those other books, right? So that's what we should do. We should put on God's word, and we should put it on in our minds, and it should be something we tell ourselves all of the time until we truly believe those things will come to pass.